Good morning, and welcome to Flashback Twin Cities. I am Tom Osman. And for the next hour, we will be discussing some people, history, media, and culture of the Twin Cities area. With me, again, as always, James.
Hey, good morning.
Happy New Year, James.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Did you set your New Year's resolutions?
You know, I did, and I have also determined what New Year's resolutions I'm immediately going to fail at.
Yeah, I think I already
give up wholly.
Determined that the day after, I think.
I'm going to be healthier. No.
Well, you know, healthy is not just eating, James. Healthy is state of mind. Healthy is, it's a complete experience, not without besides the food consumption.
See, that's the difference between you and me. You're deep.
Well,
just
that's allegedly.
I should eat less hot dogs.
There you go. You know, that'll be my New Year's resolution also.
You'll probably succeed.
We didn't fall off the cliff. The cliff was averted. That was the big story of the week. However, our beloved, or Macy's, we'll call beloved, is headline of Minpost yesterday. Macy's abandons St. Paul. Another doomed dinosaur departs. James, when was the last time you shopped at downtown St. Paul Macy's?
Oh, you know, I love to go there once every 15 years.
Well, that's...
Maybe once.
Well, I must have kept it in business because I went there 10 years ago to get a tie for a wedding. And I recall being there on a Saturday afternoon. And for those who have not seen the downtown St. Paul Macy's, it's a concrete block downtown. And it was originally Dayton's store and had some great restaurants. And it was, another beloved structure of downtown St. Paul, you know, next to the World Trade Center, which came later, neighboring to Donaldson's and other, Woolworths, other great retailers downtown. It is the last remaining big retailer downtown. And you can't miss it because it's a four-wall concrete block. It looks like actually, the architecture is the same as the former Dayton store at Southdale before they remodeled it. It's a relic of the 50s, and not one that I would call a classic relic. There's not a lot of architecture style to it.
Oh, I disagree. Boxes always are classy.
Well, it does have the stripes, the stripes that are patterned on it. I'm looking through this article. This is by Marlis Harris in InPost yesterday, and we are not the only ones losing our downtown Macy's. Honolulu, Pasadena, and Houston are also losing their downtown Macy's, where Mayor Anise Parker refuses to accept the loss. She announced the creation of a retail task force to try to bring back Macy's and other department stores.
I want to know what this task force involves. Is this? I don't think of anything but a task force like flipping tables and hustling people.
Well, I'm thinking a couple of things come to mind. I'm thinking of the telethons that some of our neighboring stations do every so often to raise funds to stay sustainable. And I can't see the Macy's telethon or the Macy's fund drive going very well. And the second thing is Macy's downtown, and the comments have been a little bit lukewarm. I don't think that because it's the Macy's brand that's going away, not the Dayton's brand, that people are feeling too emotionally deep over it. But it's much like our Twinkies, which kind of exploded on social media a couple months ago.
Yep.
When was the last time you had a Twinkie? We want Twinkies to stay. We just don't want to eat them.
I'll admit, I don't like Twinkies. I'm a Ho-Ho fan.
Well, you know.
Those are delicious, but Twinkies are just...
Once you lose your Twinkie, you lose your ho-ho, though.
I know. And it hurts me inside.
You know what? There you go. My resolution is to eat less Twinkies and less ho-hos, and I think that the Hostess Company is allowing me to
that's brilliant.
Make my resolution this year. But the question is, do we miss these things because we really want to utilize them, or we miss them just because it was there and now it's not there?
I think people would miss it because it's an institution. It's been there so long. It's a tradition. And I don't think people ever expected these things would actually leave. Grew up with it. It existed.
Right.
And people forget it's a business.
Right. Too big to fail, right?
Too big to fail.
Right. Well, if you recall, and you're not too old you're not too young to not recall, Woolworths was one of the oldest retail chains in the country. And they had locations in downtowns, they had locations in malls. In the contemporary 20th century, they were mostly known for being perhaps a competitor to a Walgreens in a mall. And I want to play a ad here, and this was as late as 1980. This was a Woolworths commercial on all the great things you can buy at Woolworths.
Save more at Woolworth right now during Dollar Days. just $1 for a 2-pound bag of jelly candies or a pack of four inside frosted GE light bulbs. Only $1 buys toothpaste, lotion, cleaning supplies, and more. Get two foam pillows for just $5 and two Easy Care polyester blankets for just $7. Save on men's tube hose, six pair, only $5. Take your choice of records and tapes, two for $5. Save on Dollar Day's Super Value store-wide at Woolworth now.
Let's all go out. Light bulbs and candy.
That's everything I've ever dreamed of.
Everything you need.
Light bulbs and candy.
And if that wasn't enough.
Now, at Woolworth's, original hit albums at an incredible price. Albums with 16 to 18 hits by America's favorite stars. Get twice the music of other albums at half the price. Originally $7.98, now only $3.99. Give the gift of music at prices you can afford. Look for the Ronco album display. Great albums and tape, only $3.99 at all Woolworth and Woolco stores.
And within 10 years, they were gone.
Well, you know, if they were still selling these things for $3.99, I'd be there, I'll tell you that.
Isn't that the truth? So, as it goes, we have to live in 2012, but we can cherish our past. And don't worry, there are a Macy's buildings in Southdale and downtown. We will survive. And
it's not like they're entirely disappearing.
No, they're not disappearing. They're the biggest, one of the biggest retailers in the country. They're not going away. They purchased a lot of small chains, and they're here to stay. So if you like your Macy's, shop at it.
It needs your help at this point, I
exactly.
think.
Cool. And if you want to join the mayor of Houston's task force, go to minpost.com. You can check out her contact information and maybe go down and join that lead effort. Next, we are going to talk about New Year's resolutions again real quick. And this next commercial I want to play, this is from 1983. And Ann Mira and Jerry Stiller, known from sitcoms and other performance, other entertainment. This is a commercial for GTE from 1983.
Miss Featherston, do you realize how much I've expanded in the past few years?
Well, a couple of pounds maybe, but I wouldn't worry about it.
Miss Featherston, it's time to enlarge our telephone system. I want you to call General Telephone immediately and have them send over one of their marketing representatives. Tell them we're interested in the latest communication services, watts lines, telemarketing techniques, data transmission, etc.
Wow, etc. too, huh?
Get it all with General Telephone.
The telephone you plug in the wall and you had a rotary dial.
Nice.
Ann Mira and Jerry Stiller, a married couple, married, I think, for almost 60 years.
That's impressive.
Ben Stiller's father, and working together frequently. Our guests today are Andre Bernier and Sally Bernier, former Care 11 meteorologists. They worked here in the 1980s, and they were the first, from what I can tell, married couple that were promoted on air here in the Twin Cities as a married couple working together. And they actually did the weather forecasts together as the weather couple in 1987. Sally came here first, and Andre joined her on the forecast and the morning show later. So after our break, we are going to be joined by Andre Bernier. He also wrote a great book called The Extra Mile, A Celebration of People. Andre Bernier and Sally Bernier next on Flashback Twin Cities Club 1220. Flashback Twin Cities, Club 1220, KLBB. I am Tom Osmond. Joining me from Cleveland is former care meteorologist and chief meteorologist at WJW-TV, Andre Bernier. Good morning, Andre.
One more time. Try that one more time.
Okay, good morning, Andre.
Hey, good morning. Are we good and set now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, yeah, we're good.
Okay, fantastic. Well, happy New Year to everybody in the Twin Cities.
Happy New Year to you, sir. First question we always have to ask our guests, especially that did weather. What is the temperature in Cleveland right now?
Well, I would imagine we're a little bit toastier than you are, although that's not always the case. Right now it's 26 degrees, and I understand that you are at 10, so We're a little above you, so if you want a heat wave, come on down to Cleveland.
I think that might be the plan for the show today. It is 10 degrees, and it feels like 10 degrees today. Andre, thanks for coming today. And Andre, you were also the first on-air meteorologist at the Weather Channel, the very first minute of the Weather Channel.
That's exactly right. In fact, if you go to YouTube and you simply search for First Minute Weather Channel, the very first thing that pops up is, in fact, somebody posted the very first minute of the Weather Channel, well, actually the first 10 minutes, and it was Bruce Edwards and myself that drew the short straw, and it was luck of the draw, really, that happened. We had 26 on-camera meteorologists come together, and that first night, we just happened to have the first shift, and interesting to note, Bruce Edwards' real name is Kalinowski. Well, Bruce Kalinowski is now here in Cleveland also, except that he's at the competition station here in Cleveland, Channel 3, the NBC affiliate. So we both ended up in Cleveland 30 years later.
That's great. And what's interesting, and I read your book, and by the way, the book is called The Extra Mile, A Celebration of People. And this book, it's for those that like broadcasting. It's a great book, but it's not a broadcasting book. It's a book that you give lots of tribute to people that have given you insight and advice through your career. And I think it's so well written, and it's so you do such a great job of giving credit to those that gave you breaks or gave you what you needed to be able to do what you wanted to do.
Yep, that's exactly right. And there was really no other way to do it in my mind than through a book. And I'm happy to say that the vast majority of people who were in the book, I was able to get the book in their hands while they were still walking on the earth. Some of them have since crossed over into eternity, but I was glad I had the opportunity to thank everyone in this very special way.
Well, and one of them was John Coleman, who gave you your break at the Weather Channel. And I want to play just a small clip of you at the Weather Channel. This is that first minute, and then let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
And good evening, America. Welcome to the Weather Channel, the non-ending weather telethon. I'm Bruce Edwards, glad to be with you this evening.
And I'm Andre Bernier, glad you can join us from wherever you're viewing across the country. Hello, everybody.
We were the fortunate pair that happened by the luck of the draw to choose this premiere showing of the Weather Channel. We're very pleased to be with you tonight. And without any further ado, let's get to the weather happenings across the nation. Headlining the weather news, it was a high plains heat wave.
So who would have thought anyone would want to watch weather 24 hours a day? In 1982.
It was a big, big chance that they were taking. In fact, before the Weather Channel ever had that first minute, and even afterwards, there were all kinds of naysayers that said it couldn't be done, that it wouldn't last a year, that people would be disinterested. We were the butt of many jokes on late-night talk shows with Johnny Carson, David Letterman, Jay Leno. Who would have thought 3 or 4 years later, all of a sudden, they turned the corner, and by then I wasn't there. I was in Minneapolis, but they became profitable just 3 or 4 years later. And, of course, now they're a huge entity.
And how was the time at the Weather Channel? How did that draw on your experience? What do you take away from that? Now in Cleveland, you're the chief meteorologist. What experience there took you through your life?
It was an important part of everybody who became one of the original team members of the Weather Channel, in that there was no other place, there was no other opportunity for an on-camera meteorologist to, A, learn about the country, the entire country's weather system, the little nuances of every little nook and cranny from coast to coast and border to border. There was also no other outlet in television or in cable that gave a meteorologist so much experience in a short period of time. In that, I mean, we once figured out that for every 1 year that a meteorologist was on camera at the Weather Channel, it would take approximately 7 years of a local television meteorologist in a local market to get the on-camera time that we got at the Weather Channel. So we brushed up on our on-camera skills 7 times faster than somebody in a local market would have.
And you probably skipped what many would have done of working in 5 small markets in the time you worked at the Weather Channel, I'm guessing.
Pretty much. I was very fortunate in that I knew John Coleman before I even started my first job at in Cedar Rapids, and that was at what is now KGAN. It was WMT-TV when I was there. And the person who went to work for John's producer was actually my meteorology professor at London State College. Joe DeLeo went to work for John Coleman. So all of that came together, and when the opportunity came for a Weather Channel, and I knew this was developing, it was in its developing stages, and it was in the undercurrent and out of the radars, no pun intended, before anybody knew that that was in its development stages. I knew about it and was really intrigued by the idea and hoped someday to be able to be on the launch team. And I was fortunate that I had the kind of an inside skinny.
Well, it's a great clip. And again, my guest is Andre Bernier's Flashback Twin Cities. Andre, you left the Weather Channel to come to Minneapolis. You decided you wanted to leave Atlanta and come where it's cold because that's where the real weather is.
Actually, you're right. I was really, at that point, after 3 years in Atlanta, I'm not a big fan of the heat. I don't do well in the heat. I don't do well in the humidity. Atlanta's one of those pretty places, though, where it's not the super deep south, because they're 1,000 feet up in elevation. So they don't get the kind of absolute torrid humidity that, say, Macon, Georgia would, or Savannah. But it was still hot all summer long, and people just kind of went indoors in the summer, and then everybody came out in September and did all of their outdoor things for 9 months, almost like Phoenix, not quite as bad. But I was sick of the heat, and we were looking to head north, and Sally was, my wife was the first person to get a job offer, and that was in Minneapolis. And so we said, let's go, and that's pretty much where we ended up after our Atlanta gig, because Sally was at CNN before we went up to Twin Cities.
And CNN in Atlanta at the time, correct?
Yes, we were both in Atlanta. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you took the long stretch up to Minneapolis, and you got here, and then you worked at Northwest Airlines, correct?
Yes, Northwest Airlines. Before Northwest Airlines, the very first opportunity that made itself available was this very radio station. 1220 was actually WWTC. And the owners of WWTC thought, we want to do something really different with AM radio. So they decided to essentially do a duplicate of the Weather Channel, except do it in radio. And so it was 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, weather. So when I came up to the Twin Cities, it was a perfect fit. Since I had been at the Weather Channel in Atlanta, I said, I think I can help.
Marathon and weather's part of your specialty.
There for a little while.
That was, you know, it was one of those formats that it you know, great intentions. It just might not have been sustaining as far as long term. And I think that, in fact, the Weather Channel probably competed with the weather radio, because people could still flip over to Weather Channel and get that 24-hour visual weather versus go on the radio. And
right.
And Minnesota audiences also are very, very loyal. And I think that at the time, the good neighbor to the Northwest probably was still providing weather forecasts for school closings and other events, and people were very loyal to that. It's tough to try something new sometimes, and especially as revolutionary as weather radio. But it's very I think it's very interesting and very unique that was tried, and you were part of that.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. I made some suggestions, and it just, you need to do something unique in radio, And one of the elements, unfortunately, that was missing was really the super live component, especially when there was something really interesting going on weather-wise, and there was an opportunity to get people involved and audience involved. Unfortunately, those that actually steered the boat didn't want to do that. And so I think that that was one element that perhaps might have made it successful. Maybe not, but anyway, it is what it is. And so when an opportunity came to go to Northwest Airlines, as a meteorologist, I thought, well, here's a different opportunity. Why not this?
And I enjoyed.
And so I jumped on board with them.
And I enjoyed it in the book. And you talk about, you know, you come from a TV background. You come from a creative background. Again, this is Andre Bernier of WJW-TV, former CARE TV meteorologist. You talk about trying to add some creativity and fun to the Northwest Airline forecast you're providing to pilots. And they asked you to tone down creativity.
Really?
Well, you know what? When you work for an organization that tries to keep things very, very simple for the passenger, and I can see their point. They made a very good point, but of course, with someone who, up until that point, was in a very creative field, I decided to kind of broaden the base a little bit with what we call the passenger forecast. This was a list of cities that Northwest Airlines served, and we had to come up with a forecast for each city, one line, not even a line, one or two words, and a temperature that people could expect as they were leaving the plane. And this was given to all of the pilots on their flights. And so I would start doing things, you know, instead of mostly sunny, if it was going to be high clouds, I'd put milky sunshine, or I would put, you know, blustery, cold, or, you know, something very creative, something very interesting. And apparently that didn't go over too well with at least some of the meteorology folks at the time, and they asked me to, for all intent and purpose, knock it off.
And when,
keep things simple.
And when you were there, Andre, were you the only one that had TV background when you were in that team at Northwest?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I was still, I was actually doing some fill-in work at CARE 11 at the time. Whenever they needed some fill-in work, if it didn't have any kind of program interferences
right.
with what I was doing at Northwest, then, you know, Northwest would say, yeah, go ahead, you know, go do your TV thing and have some fun.
So that had been a good feeling. You finally get, when you go to TV, because CARE, they probably would encourage a little humor and a little creativity at CARE.
Oh my goodness! The first time, the very, very first time I was on, filling in for then Barry Finn, who was the weekday morning meteorologist at the time. I think I put on the weather map one of my favorites that I brought with me from Iowa, and that was NACITS, NACITS, and it was an acronym. It stands for Not a Cloud in the Sky.
Right, right.
And I put a giant NACITS on the map and explained it and had some fun with it. And the news director at the time, Tom Kirby, during the morning meeting said, just looked at me on my first day and said, NACITS, love it.
Yeah, trademark
just gave
that.
Me good feelings. Like, okay, fantastic.
Let's listen to Andre doing the weather at Channel 11.
Good morning and welcome to Sunrise. This is February 20th. We've made it. This is Friday.
We made it to Friday.
Yeah. It's kind of disappointing, isn't it? The work week is ending.
Kind
of sad, isn't it?
We don't get to get up early tomorrow morning.
No, all kinds of disappointments this morning. We welcome you with us. And you know who's here, too?
Andre
Bernier.
That's
yes.
right.
Good morning,
Andre. Sally.
Good morning. Going pretty good. As a matter of fact, today's record high is 57. We're not going to see that, but we're going to get pretty close. And incidentally, the weather is so boring, we're going to play a little meteorological poker. So get your chips ready, and I hope and I wish both of you the best of luck.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
He's gonna pit you against me.
I know, and I'm probably going to win, John.
Andre, gambling on the weather. I mean, there's some creativity.
Breaking out those poker chips. Wow, that brings back memories. I do remember that show on that day.
No, that's great. Speaking of creativity, you and Sally. And Sally, on air, she was Sally Patrick. So those that remember, you know, today she's Sally Bernier. On air here in Channel 11, she was Sally Patrick. And many here can remember her from the weekends and then later the morning forecasts. And I think that there's a certain point that we realized that both of you were married. I don't think we knew it right away because you had different last names. You were on different shifts. To the viewer, I don't think we realized that, oh, these two are married. Until this this commercial popped out, and this this is called the Weather Couple Coffee Quiz, and this was an idea. Tell me a little bit about this idea you two had.
It was actually a tongue-in-cheek kind of a thing, and we were kicking it around one day, just having some fun after the morning show because there was a little time to kick back and relax. And I think I can't remember who came up with it first. But somebody said, let's put a fun promo together you know, let's call it the Weather Couple Coffee Quiz. And at the end of the promo, we'll argue about the weather like you know, husbands and wives argue about so many things. And so we did. We put it together, and we just had some fun with it. But I don't think anybody really had the intention of making this pitch to the news director.
Somehow...
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, let's listen to this pitch. I have it queued up here. This is the Andre Bernier, Sally Patrick Weather Couple promo.
As husband and wife, Sally and I talk weather a lot. So here's our chance to talk to you about the weather during Couples Weather Week.
You'll have two chances daily to win a $22 gift certificate by correctly answering the trivia question on famous pairs or couples, with a grand prize drawn for $222 worth of groceries.
So join us starting Monday, September 21st on News 11 Sunrise for a sunny forecast.
Partly sunny.
A sunny forecast.
Partly sunny.
No, I think we agreed on sunny forecast.
Instability on the back.
Now, how much is that fact and, fact and fiction?
Oh, that was, it's interesting because we do have some back and forth a little bit about weather from time to time. As a husband and wife.
That's great.
But always as professionals. But it's interesting how pillow talk for us like that does happen, where it's like, well, the little nuance is partly cloudy, partly sunny. It is a lot of fun.
That's great. And that ended up on the news director Tom Kirby's desk, and he brings
it
Andre Bernier and Sally Patrick into the room, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, he found our tape we made. Now what does he want? Does he want to reprimand us for using station equipment?
My head was rolling, and my brain was going at 1,000 miles an hour because I see in his hands the tape. And I thought, how in the world did he get that? And he just kind of whirls around the tape in the air and looks at both of us, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, here it comes. And he goes, when do we start this? It's like, oh, okay, well. And I saw the crack open in the door. Of course, I'd been filling in at that point, and Sally was full-time. And I just kind of looked at him, and September 1st was right around the corner, and I just blurted out, how about September 1st? And he goes, okay, let's do it. and that was pretty much the start.
Well, you know, and what is great is Channel 11 and weather, because I've asked Paul Douglas the same question, our mutual friend Paul Douglas, who is now Weather Nation. Relatively young people coming into a big corporation, which Gannett is a big corporation, and the leeway that everyone got, Paul got Channel 11 to, you know, open up a back wall and create a backyard studio. I don't see today in broadcast industries today kind of upstarts being able to have that kind of leeway and being able to direct their own marketing programs or their own styles the way that the people at Channel 11 allowed you and Paul and Sally to be able to do.
It was a fantastic era at Care 11, and it's a great television station, but it was a unique time because, as Paul, I'm sure, had explained before, when Care 11 became the NBC affiliate, they were once the independent, and so they were trying to make a mark in the market.
Right.
And Gannett basically said, do what you need to do. Period. And the staff was very young for all intent and purpose, and everybody was given carte blanche. And I still remember to this day what Tom Kirby told me when I asked him about an idea for On Air. He said, Andre, don't even bother pitching the idea. Just do it on the air. Just go and do it. Now, if there's something I don't like, I will let you know. But you have carte blanche. Just go out there, have fun, and try different things. And he says, don't worry. I'll put my finger in the pudding when I see something I don't like, and I'll let you know. And that's the kind of elbow room and creativity that was given and afforded to us back in the early days when Carol Evan became the NBC affiliate.
So a bit of a contrast between going to Northwest Airlines and being told not to make a a smiley face, and then you go to Carol Evan and say, do whatever you want to do, and we'll tell you if we don't like it later.
Exactly. And, I mean, it was just two worlds apart. Now, each had their advantages, and I enjoyed working for both. But they were definitely two different philosophies working.
Well, great. Andre Bernier, let's take a break. We'll come back, and hopefully we'll be joined by Sally Bernier, and I want to talk about a little bit more about the Weather Couple and more about your book and what you both are doing.
Okay, very good.
We're right back on KLBB Club 1220.
I'm Andrea Shane, in for Joan Steffen.
And I'm Kevin McDowell. Coming up next on News 11, the DNR's worst fears confirmed. Grass fires break out across the state.
While the warm weather creates some problems, others were out enjoying the temperatures today.
Gardeners find warm weather a mixed blessing as well. We'll have some tips to make it easier.
And the Twins are in action in California. We're going to have the details in sports. News 11 is next.
And for those tuning in, this is not April 1987. This is January 2013. But we are lucky enough to have Andre Bernier and Sally Bernier joining us live from Cleveland. How are you both doing?
Hey there. How are you? And Sally has joined me now. And again, Happy New Year to everybody.
Oh, Happy New Year to you, too.
Well, Sally, thank you for joining us. I know you don't do these too often, so I really appreciate you coming on to Flashback Twin Cities. We miss you.
Oh, thank you very much. I miss the Twin Cities.
So, Sally, talk a little bit about Andre, about his journey from the Weather Channel to the Twin Cities. Tell us a little bit about your how you got a job at Care 11. What brought you from CNN, a national news organization, to the cold and adventures here of Minneapolis-St. Paul?
Wow. As I remember, it was a phone call asking for a resume tape. And it was a good time for me to make a switch, even though Atlanta was I love Atlanta, too. Atlanta had great weather, obviously. But it was a phone call. I'm not recalling who it was, but it was the news director at the time asking me for a resume tape, and I sent it, and things just worked right out from there.
That's great. You did weekends originally, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, you did weekends, and then later we're joined by Andre, and you did mornings for a while.
Yes, the morning person had left, and that left a gap, so then I did mornings and 3 days a week of mornings and weekends, and then eventually it was all mornings when Dennis Falcon came to weekends.
So you're getting up at 5 and then going to bed at midnight a few days a week. That had to have been a fun year.
Yeah, it's different. You kind of get used to it, but it's a different lifestyle. But it was great. We had just a great time there. Lots of friends, and that's the biggest part that you miss is all the people that you worked with, some great people that worked there at Care 11.
And when you came to Care 11, and we were talking to Andre about this just a few minutes ago, it was emerging as the number one news station in town. It was number three forever, and I think that some of the competitors never assumed that it would ever budge out of number three, but about 1987, it was number one across the board.
So well, that was happening just as we arrived. They had some new management before we arrived, and we knew things were changing, the demographics were changing, and we knew we were coming up, but yeah, I think you're right. The other stations kind of didn't take it seriously because they had been in third place for so long, but we knew it was happening, and it was a real neat thing to be on that kind of team, that you know you're up and coming, and you know it's gonna pan out, and it did.
So I'll ask both this question: what was different about working at CARE than other places you've worked at, including before CARE, and then in Cleveland?
There was an interesting synergy that I don't think we got anywhere else in the sense that it was a very young staff. And again, we were given that latitude to have fun because they saw that people in the Twin Cities were ready for something different, and the demographics were changing. And I think it was fresh, it was bold, and the people that were working there had that sense. It was almost a sense of adventure of sorts, and we were all in this boat together, almost a little bit like working at the Weather Channel in one sense, because we had the same kind of sense of adventure. It was a real interesting adventure. Nobody knew where the ship was going to end up. We were hoping it was going to end up in a good place, but we were having fun doing it no matter what. We were told to get out there and have fun.
Right, right.
I just had one question for you. You know, with given that latitude that you had, were you ever afraid you were going to push things just a little too far? Or did you have a good idea of where the range was that you were allowed to go?
Personally, I think we all, Andre and myself, always have that sense of what's the limit. But that's a kind of personal and lots of moral decisions involved with that.
Right.
Not as far as the group went, but individually, yeah. I think you, at least we did, we always had a good sense of, there's lines you don't cross, and you don't want to cross.
Did you have
to? It's just not the right thing to do.
Did you have to argue about that?
In terms of fun, we also just creatively sat down many times and said, okay, how can we do this and do this in a really, really fun way? One of those fun instances was when Sally and I were, without even knowing that we were entering into a wager, an on-air wager, suddenly finding ourselves, I think it's going to be overcast and not see any sun. And Sally says, I think we're going to see some sun. And it surprised me and it surprised her. And we kind of took off with it.
Well, and also I think that during the week, Paul Douglas, he had, he had grizzly bears and he had acrobatics. And he had, you saw kind of the line, and not, obviously not an inappropriate line, but as far as the line of what you can do in a weather forecast and how much performance and theatrics you can add to it, you take that, and I think that anything that anyone else did, you couldn't really cross the line or even cross the line of, is this really weather related? Because there's tons of these videos around on tcmedianow.com and on YouTube of Paul Douglas and his cabinet. I mean, it was like the Tonight Show for a weather forecast of every day there was a new guest on or a new something new was there, and it was always more surprising, unique than the last. And and Andre, you occasionally got to see some of that live.
I did. In fact, I still remember when in the very, very early days of WWTC, when weather radio was still there, I was actually at the radio station on the air, on the radio, when I watched Paul Douglas's head get conked by a canoe. Ooh, and apparently it was one of the lowlights of the front yard for him, as I recall, and I think that might even be on YouTube somewhere.
That is on YouTube. It's actually one of the most popular videos on tcmedianow.com, even to Paul's. Paul has given his full support of showing that clip, mostly for safety purposes now. Watch your surroundings when there's a big canoe.
Of course.
I want to play, so we played the promo. I want to play the Weather Couple copy quiz. This is what actually aired on live. And Andrew, this is from your YouTube site. So let's listen to how the outdoor and indoor weather couple worked.
Hey, watch Sally Patrick for the weather on News 11, Sunrise.
This is the fifth grade class of Mr. Kulback.
Good morning, 11 Country.
Now, the Twin Cities' fastest-growing television news, News 11 Sunrise.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, September 9th. I'm John Stone.
And I'm Melissa Young. Amy Powell is on vacation this week.
Kind of a repeat outside today, isn't it?
I think so.
It was yesterday.
Yeah, it was weird. I got in my car and it was all fogged up this morning. I wasn't sure what that meant.
Well, is it still kind of foggy out there, Andre? Is it pretty nice
outside? You know, it's a real nice morning for stargazing. Clear skies. It's 51 degrees this morning.
Now, Sally asked me to bring the telescope out this morning, but Sally, I don't know what I'm supposed to be looking for. Could you help me out here?
Andre, our quiz question today deals with two stars that you can see this morning, two stars in the Big Dipper. That'll be our quiz question coming up later. If we call you, you could win $111. That's in a few minutes.
Those two stars are you and me, aren't they?
That's great. Now, how long did that last? How long were you able to do the Weather Couple?
We started that in September of 1987. And that got the nod of approval after the first test month, and we kept that up until I left, actually, for Cleveland in January of 1988. So it was only 4 or 5 months or so, but it was a very, very delightful period for us.
And Andre, it was your dream job that you were able to leave for too. It was not. This is Andre Bernier and his wife, Sally Bernier, both former CARE meteorologists. You left CARE in January 88 to do the mornings at WJW, which was, for you, what you'd wanted, a full-time job, and actually in Sally's hometown, correct?
Yeah, and that was one of the deciding factors of deciding to go there, because Sally was still under contract at the time, but CARE 11, very gracious, and they basically said, we wish you well. We know that this is going to be a great move. And whenever we got settled, Sally could then join me ahead of her contract schedule and obligations.
And Sal, you did weather in Cleveland also for a few years, and are you still doing weather?
No, I'm not. I was doing weather at a couple stations in town, and no, I haven't done weather in a few years. I just now support my husband. I do some graphics for him and that kind of thing, so I'm behind the scenes now, but no, officially not working.
Do you miss it at all?
You know, as I was saying earlier, it's always the people that you miss. No matter where you work and what you do, the people are really what you miss. The daily contact with weather I still have, obviously, now with the Internet, which is wonderful. You can get everything on the Internet, so that I don't really have to miss. I still am very involved in looking at weather and helping to forecast. But the people, obviously, working with on a daily basis, that I miss.
Well, I wanted to promote again. The book is called The Extra Mile, Celebration of People, and I just want to read this paragraph here. This book is not really about me, but the people who have in some way changed my life. The people with whom I have had the pleasure of doing life are the most treasured possessions. I am truly rich beyond rich because of each person with whom I have shared even the smallest portion of the footpath. And I think it's a great thing. There's some controversies last year on what makes a business and what makes a person, and are we a product of other people or who? But I really truly believe, Andre, what you say here is we're there's people that have to give us a shot and people that have to help us along the way, and I couldn't agree with you more. You're working on a couple more books, you told me.
I am, and the first one, actually there are two in the pipeline. The first one will probably come out in the spring or summer, and that one is called God's Word is Like Doppler Radar. And a lot of people may or may not know that I am an ordained minister, in addition to my professional career as a meteorologist. Now, I'm not, I don't pastor a church, or I don't do any of those things, but essentially, I have a heart for people and their spiritual condition. And so my congregation is essentially those people that watch me on television. It's a lot like Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. He was an ordained minister, but he never pastored a church. He he was a host of a kids' television program. So I'm going to draw some parallels from Doppler weather radar and how it is very similar to God's Word, the Bible. The second book is much more fun in scope. It is a fiction, and it's going to start a Christmas series of a fictional town, and the fictional town is Pilaf, Ohio. It's kind of a quirky little town, and every year in November I plan on releasing a Christmas story from the quirky little town of Pilaf.
Very good. I look forward to checking out both those. And you can buy The Extra Mile on Amazon, correct?
Yes, it's available exclusively on Amazon.com. And just go Extra Mile Bernier, and it'll be the first thing that pops up.
And you have a website too, Andre, correct? If they want to learn more about your ministry and about your faith?
Mm-hmm. I do, and it's simply myname, .com. It's Andre, A-N-D-R-E, Bernier, B-E-R-N-I-E-R, .com.
And I want to ask a couple more questions. You've been doing meteorology now for over 30 years, and from the days of the Weather Channel through CARE, is forecasting weather easier with technology now, or is it even more cumbersome with the technology that we have today?
I think it's actually both. It is easier because we have access to so much more information, but like with all other fields, it's too much information at times.
Right.
And you have to weed out what's relevant and what isn't, so sometimes it's just overload, like in many areas. So I would say it's both. Obviously, forecasting has become more accurate, but we'll never get to the 100%, but that's what makes it fun.
Andre, agree?
I think so, and I think the new generation comes in to meteorology and they have all of these computer models to work with that we didn't, the task becomes to know what to weed out. And you have to, because our mind doesn't work like one of these mega computer processors in Washington, D.C. that grind out all these models for us. So what we end up having to do is really pare it down, decide what to look at, and then go from there. Because otherwise, we'd literally be looking at information for a forecast far too long, and we'd miss the entire day. We'd go to bed and think, oh, well, the day passed, and so I guess hindcasting is better, so we'll go with that. So you have to know what to pare down and what to look at, and that is the big, daunting task in weather today.
Well, I want to play a quick clip, and this is from 25 years ago this last summer. This was the superstorm of July 1987, and this is the next morning when we all try to figure out what happened last night.
Nothing was
incredible.
Normal about this storm, though, right?
Just incredible.
I mean, this was a once-in-a-100-years occurrence.
Yes, it was. Once-in-a-lifetime thing. You won't see anything like this again, certainly in the Twin Cities.
Yes.
Oh, you can almost guarantee it. This was just, it was just unbelievable. Continuous thunderstorms for over 5 hours in most areas.
It was amazing to
drenching.
Watch that rain.
And it really came on top of quite a bit of rain just a few days ago.
On Monday, we had the same situation occur, thunderstorms stalling over us, but this was 10 times...
Sally, remember that morning coming into work and seeing the every street in town flooded?
Very much so. That very much stands out in my mind. Huge weather event, one of the biggest ever in any place we've lived. But I remember it so well, just as I said there, because a couple days before that, we had the same meteorological situation set up. And there was flooding on that, and I guess it was a Monday, but it was not nearly what we were going to have a couple days later. But what I remember is the news director coming to me and saying, do you think that, now this was after the Monday storms, do you think we're going to have flooding again? And I said, yes, absolutely. The situation is setting up the same, so we do need extra reporters and that kind of thing. Of course, what nobody saw was how extreme the amounts of rain were going to be.
No, and it seemed like it wasn't going to end. And then the next day, just the aerial shots that the trapper took of it looked like just a water tank had spilled over the whole town. And that full video is actually on tcmedianow.com. And I've shared it with Andre before, so I encourage anyone who's not seen that to look at it. Unfortunately, we are wrapping close to end of our time. Andre Bernier, Sally Bernier, thank you so much for joining me today. It was fun talking about the days of CARE and the Weather Couple and what you're doing now, and look forward to, Andre, reading your next book. And again, I encourage everyone to check out The Extra Mile on Amazon.com.
It was a real pleasure to be with you. It was a lot of fun to do some recalling some of the early days of television news in Minneapolis.
Well, thank you for allowing us this opportunity.
If both of you are in Minneapolis, come on in. We'll do it here again.
That sounds like fun. We'll do that.
Sounds good.
Yeah, definitely appreciate letting me pick your brain for a smidge.
We will. We'll be back next week. This is Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220.